from the American Tobacco Historic District in downtown Durham. This is Due South on WUNC. I'm Leonita Inge. You don't have to look hard to find out that there's a mental health crisis among college students in the U.S. By some surveys, more than 40% of undergraduate students have reported symptoms of depression. There are lots of ideas out there about solving this crisis. Our guests today, they aren't politicians, they aren't parents or pundits, they're college students and journalists. They're the people who are living this crisis. You know, their friends, their classmates, their mentors and teachers. These students are journalists at 9 newsrooms on college campuses across North Carolina, from Duke to East Carolina to UNC Wilmington. They reported dozens of stories for this series, The Mental Health Collaborative. And the stories don't just point to a problem, they point to solutions. We're joined today by Emmy Martin, editor-in-chief of the Daily Tar Heel. She's the project lead, the Mental Health Collaborative. Rosalie Sinias, she's the editor-in-chief, the A&T Register at North Carolina A&T State University. And Emily Vespa, managing editor at Technician at NC State in Raleigh. Well, thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
You know, how do you and your friends really talk about mental health? And maybe I can just start with Emmy.
Yeah, it's a topic that is intimately familiar for everyone, of course, but specifically students at universities across North Carolina and the United States. We're seeing an increase in concern over the issue of mental health and mental health, mental illnesses. And I think everyone our age, from adolescence to early 20s, talks about it with their friends, right? A lot of us struggle with issues like anxiety or depression or burnout. That's a whole nother conversation. But on college campuses like UNC Chapel Hill and NC State, we've seen more suicides, or at least we've talked about more suicides publicly than perhaps past years. And I think that issue has brought the larger issue of mental health to light and into conversations on a day-to-day basis.
Well, Rosalie, what about at North Carolina A&T State University? It's a historically Black college and university, really probably the largest in the country. How are you talking to your friends about mental health?
Yeah, I think also taking in fact like the cultural implications or aspects within our community. It's a topic that's been hard to talk about amongst not only ourselves as like students, but also just in our comfortable spaces with our family and things like that. But as mental health has become like a topic at the forefront of discussions, it's become more like a lot of people are more receptive to talking about it, more open to talking about it openly on campus. And just in terms of like with my friends, a lot of different things affect our mental health. And we've like created a community amongst ourselves where we're able to talk about those different things, even if we're not the experts of like what to do in that situation. Just hearing each other out is something that's also been very helpful in terms of like my friend group and just on campus in general. The students here are also very big advocates of mental health. So they've also been doing a lot of like events or activities that are curated to helping their peers with that type of stuff. So
Emily, you've heard Rosalie and Emmy talk about, you know, young people are talking more, they're more comfortable, you know, just really approaching the topic of mental health than other generations. How do you know that? I mean, you think they are, does it, you think have anything to do with maybe the times you are in your life? And we're coming off of a pandemic where people really had to open up or really not, you know, be prepared for some of the depression and anxiety that definitely rose out of that.
Right. Yeah. I think for me, I've seen kind of a shift in just people's attitudes towards mental health, especially on campus after last year at NC State. I think it was a really kind of sobering realization for a lot of us that we need to be checking in on our friends and we need to be keeping an eye out for each other's mental health and ask friends how they're doing. But I think especially the pandemic was hard on everyone. I think the more conversations we've had about mental health, the more I've realized that I'm not alone in like having struggles through the pandemic and coming back. And I think that's where I've really realized that this is becoming a much more, it's less taboo to talk about now. I think like even just talking about therapy and telling people that you go to a therapist, I've noticed the attitude towards that has really become more, it's just become more embraced.
Just not a stigma, not a stigma to admit that.
Right. Yeah.
I have to ask all of you, were you all in high school when schools went remote, you know, during COVID times, COVID-19? I wonder that. And I know that was a tough time for a lot of people's mental health, but do you like being in class in person now, you know, comparing it to that time?
Totally. I was a junior when we went into, you know, we were sent home for 2 weeks, and then it ended up being the rest of our junior year. And then our senior year as well. And so coming into college, still wearing masks, but being in person was a breath of fresh air. And then when we went into the mask optional phase, it was so much better. I think you can make connections in a way that you can't online when you're in person. And I'd love to hear from Rosalie and Emily as well.
Emmy, where are you from? Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Wake Forest, North Carolina, so north of Raleigh.
Mm. Rosalie, what about you? Where did you grow up and how was high school?
Yeah, so I'm actually from Cranston, Rhode Island, so way, way up north, right next to Massachusetts, the whole New England area. When I was in high school, I was a senior graduating, so I graduated during like 2020, of the summer of 2020, when the pandemic was like really hitting everybody. So it was tough because you go from like 3.5 years of being in person and being able to do things in person and connect with people, and then the later half of like your senior year when you have all these big plans is just completely shut down, the whole world shuts down. So it was a tough adjustment, not being able to see people, having a graduation that was not even up to what you thought it was going to be. And just realizing how important like in-person connection was. Like, you don't know what you have until it's gone. And I feel like that's what I felt when that whole thing happened. So then going into college, I was actually virtual the whole first year and it was tough. So when I got on campus, like, and being able to be with people physically and see people, it just made me realize how much in-person connection and just being like in these spaces with people physically is so important, because it's a completely different experience than just being virtual with someone, seeing someone through a screen. And even just in learning in general, I'm like, I've also realized that I'm the type of learner that wants to be in person. I feel like you get to interact more and discuss more and just nurture your like learning mindset more. So yeah, it was tough to be virtual, and then you just really see the stark differences between being virtual and being in person through that experience. So, yeah.
Well, you know, Emily, at Technician at NC State, I definitely want to know where you grew up. But when I think about it, you three, you know, you're pretty outgoing. You know, you're the editors and leaders of your school papers, and probably faring a lot better than maybe some of your classmates. So maybe, Emily, you can tell me how you feel about being in person. And I don't know, were you even hesitant to come on campus, you know, after COVID?
Yeah, I also went virtual my junior year of high school. I'm from Charlotte, so that's where I came from. But coming to NC State off of like an entire senior year that was virtual was, I think, really, it was really hard for me. I realized I had kind of lost some of my social skills, and I forgot how to like strike up a conversation with someone in person or approach someone and make a friend. And so like that first year of college was really hard for me, as I think it was for a lot of my peers who also struggled with that. But I think being at Technician pushed me out of my comfort zone a little bit and helped me adjust, because I was sitting down with people and doing interviews all the time. So I had to learn how to have conversations with people again. But it definitely, you can even tell just by interviewing students. I remember like my freshman year when I went up to students to ask them about something I was working on, an article or something. It was definitely harder to connect with someone just because I think everyone was still adjusting back to what it was like to walk up to someone and talk to them because we had been on Zoom for so long. But yeah, it was definitely an adjustment.
Well, we have a lot to talk about in this hour. Definitely some major and dramatic incidents that have occurred on campuses, not just across the country, but right here in North Carolina. I'm joined today by Emmy Martin, editor-in-chief, The Daily Tar Heel, Rose Galee Sinius, the editor-in-chief, the A&T Register at North Carolina A&T State University, and Emily Vespa, managing editor at Technician at NC State. You're listening to Due South. Back. This is Due South on WUNC. I'm Leonita Inge, and I'm speaking with Emmy Martin, editor-in-chief, The Daily Tar Heel at UNC Chapel Hill, who led the Mental Health Collaborative with 9 student newspapers in North Carolina. Rose Galee Sinius, who is editor-in-chief, the A&T Register at North Carolina A&T State University, and Emily Vespa, managing editor at Technician, and that's at NC State University in Raleigh. And we're continuing our conversation about mental health on campus, including death and suicide. You know, there have been some pretty severe events the last couple of years that brought a lot of attention to the state of mental health on college campuses. I'm thinking about the 7 students who died by suicide at NC State last year. And of course, the UNC professor who was shot and killed on campus, and the 2 lockdowns there during the first weeks of the 2023 fall semester. So is that what drew your attention to mental health on campus, I guess, Emmy, and just the need of a collaborative and just some group reporting like this when you thought about, you know, the other students on campus and how they were faring?
Actually, we started talking about the idea of a mental health collaborative at the Daily Tar Heel the year before.
Wow.
So this has been something that's been important to us as college students for a while now. In 2021, my first year at UNC, there were 3 very public student suicides, and that was kind of an impetus for discussion of mental health on UNC's campus. You bring up very good points about the student suicides at NC State, which were jarring and sobering for so many students across North Carolina. And then, of course, the 2 lockdowns at UNC Chapel Hill, one where our professor was fatally shot. And so I think there are a lot of conversations to be had about mental health. Those events bring it to the forefront, thinking about trauma and tragedy and how that affects students and also our community in general. But COVID-19, the pandemic, isolation, social media, there are a lot of other reasons and things that I think impact people's mental health that we're talking about before this year, and we should continue to talk about after this year.
So I guess you also, You had this vision. It was big, but you knew you needed help. Mm-hmm. And so you applied for this grant with the Solutions Journalism Network to kind of like fund this project. You know, how did you decide to apply? Like, what was your vision for all of this?
So the Daily Tar Heel was really interested in doing some form of collaboration with other newsrooms across the state. We're just one group of students dedicated to journalism, and we're located in Chapel Hill. But mental health and this topic specifically is way larger than just Chapel Hill. And so in the spring of 2023, I applied for the grant through the Solutions Journalism Network. It's called their Student Challenge. And they were already focusing on mental health. And that was very appealing to us. We wanted to do a project where we could really focus on that problem and that topic. But we knew we couldn't do a huge project without that help, without the funding through the grant. And so I'm really thankful that we got it and we were able to work with 8 other newsrooms across the state to create a collaborative where we are simply looking at this very, very large problem through a solutions lens. I think the Solutions Journalism Network was the perfect partner for us because we could talk to folks in our community, talk to folks across the state who were looking at this problem and thinking about what we can do to address it and provide support for our community.
Mm. Emily and Rosalie, you know, why did your student newspapers, The Technician and Anti-Register, why did you decide to participate? Rosalie?
Yeah. So I think it's like Emmy said, mental health affects everybody. So I think it was really important to have the perspective of an HBCU campus of the Black community and how mental health specifically affects us, because it's such a big thing in our community already. There's already this deep history with it in terms of like the stigma that is attached with it amongst us. So I thought it was important to highlight the things that people are already doing on our campus to address mental health and kind of like I wouldn't say like the challenges, but just highlighting where we can improve as an institution as well, but also just making sure we're giving a platform to student leaders who are already advocating for mental health on campus and highlighting that kind of the change that has happened with how mental health is discussed amongst us as a community as well. So I thought it was really important to bring that perspective to this collaborative project.
And I didn't necessarily say read in the headlines or hear on television news of any, suicides at North Carolina A&T State University, for example, or even say something as awful as a professor, you know, being shot on campus,
right.
Or maybe even students as much. But what I did hear over the past few years are the bomb threats at historically Black colleges and universities across the South, and even a few up north from Howard University on down. And I wonder if that had anything to do with you being a part of this project. And did you write about that?
So the bomb threats happened, I believe, my first year here or like before I was in the position. So, but I know there's been like instances where we had a situation where someone had came on our campus and they had weapons with them. And that was a story that we reported on because no one had known until after it had happened. Like we learned like later on that this person was in the police's custody. And then I know in terms of just like mental health amongst like students, there has been like suicide attempts or things like that on our campus, but it just goes to show like why it's needed for us to have these type of stories written, because although mental health is a thing that's talked about now more openly, there is still much more that can be done. And especially with like our community, and maybe it's tough or it may be hard for people to talk about these things, especially when you kind of when you take in the like broader aspects that like that apply to how mental health moves about in the Black community. It's kind of like you want to keep it to yourself. You don't feel like you can go to people and talk about it. So a lot of things that have happened has just been stayed among the students, or like they talk about it in the groups, but it's not really like highlighted, but it's not really like put out there for people to know about. So that's why I felt like it was important to like highlight what mental health means at A&T and how it affects students individually as well.
Well, Emily, at NC State, you know, when I even just think about, you know, it just seems like week after week we were hearing about a suicide on campus last year. And I wonder, how do you and, you know, your fellow young journalists, you know, I don't know exactly how you covered this story, but how would you say the university handled that situation? And I don't know, some college administrations, they don't like the school papers now, you know, because they maybe can't control what you all, you know, write. And they do always care about how their university is perceived. But how did that work out, Emily?
Yeah, well, it was definitely, I think, one of the most challenging things we've covered. Personally, as a student journalist, covering a suicide was really, really difficult last year. And to do it it seemed very often was really hard too, because I think it really affected everyone in the community. So at the paper, it was hard because we just didn't have a plan in place for covering that type of story. And it just, it does affect like our own mental health to be constantly writing about that and hearing details that we would never share with the public because those are details that don't need to be shared. And so to kind of, you know, consume all of that information was really hard on myself and all of the journalists who were reporting on it. But yeah, I think as far as administration goes, we did have some trouble sometimes getting confirmation or information about a student death. But that also, I think, through our reporting with this collaborative, we kind of learned why that is. And so I'm glad we got to report on kind of that process after student death and what that looks like and how the university does disseminate information, because I got to see a little bit about maybe why we had some trouble getting that information at first, which is usually because they need to inform the family. But I do think that technician as a whole is fairly lucky in terms of our relationship with administration. Obviously, we stay objective and independent editorially, but we do have a fairly good relationship with them, and they are willing to connect us with sources, and they've been really helpful with helping us even with this project get the information that we need. So I think everyone was very unprepared, including I think no one at the university could have anticipated what happened last year. And we were all doing our best to kind of address it. And so the university mainly was focused on kind of dealing with it on the inside, I think, and not really sharing that information out immediately. But yeah.
I know I've been talking about the big stories and how college students may have been affected, like bomb threats and suicides and even a professor being shot and killed. But we know when it comes to one's mental health, sometimes it's very small thing. It's not necessarily the large things. And I wonder, how has your reporting taken that into consideration, like the kinds of stories that your fellow reporters actually worked on for this project? Emmy?
When we began this project and we came together to brainstorm story ideas from every newsroom, we were very cognizant of that fact, and we wanted to highlight different organizations on campus, but also organizations in these different towns and cities that were working towards solutions for this large mental health crisis that we're seeing. And so stories in the collaborative range from a large story where we're looking at how NC State and UNC responded to the student deaths, like Emily was talking about, to how an organization came together to provide resources for members of the LGBTQ community who are struggling with substance abuse can find community and support. And there's also stories about how athletes have a unique challenge when it comes to mental health on college campuses. We had more than 30 stories. Every single story was unique and looked at a different problem and a different way to solve it. And I think that was the beauty of this collaborative. We got to explore our unique communities, our unique towns and locations and universities, but also focus on this bigger picture together.
I'm here with Emmy Martin, Rosgalie Sinias, and Emily Vespa. They're all, I'll say, student leaders. Like, if you run the newspaper, you're a student leader and editors, and you're all working on this project to really address mental health on college, university campuses. So I also want to know, what did you learn from all that reporting? You know, I mean, did it do what you wanted it to do?
I would say that when we were thinking about the goal of our project, we wanted to draw the eyes of people across North Carolina, specifically those who lead our UNC system. A lot of the colleges who are a part of this, a lot of the newsrooms are members of the UNC system, the 17 institutions within that system. Of course, some are private. But I would say we've been successful in our goal. We gained the attention of Peter Hans, the UNC system president, but also leaders across the system and at these different universities from UNC to state. There's been talk within administrations and within student bodies, but also within our communities. And I think, of course, we have the goal of affecting change and drawing attention at the larger level, but we also want to reflect the solutions and reflect the feelings of our community. And so I see those two goals as equal. We want to make sure that our work is representing those we're covering, but also affecting change. And I hope that we'll continue to see an attention to this issue and an attention to mental health in general.
Well, Rosgalie at North Carolina A&T State University, I mean, what did you learn? Maybe you didn't get to do all the stories you wanted to do for this collaborative, and maybe there's some more that need to be done.
Yeah, so kind of just like going off of what Emmy has already said, I just learned how there are so many different things that it can affect a person's mental health, not only like the big things or like the things that a lot of people know about, just kind of even just small things. Like, we did a story that talked about how tuition increases can affect someone's mental health. And that reporting was really interesting. It was by one of our staff writers, Deja Williams. And kind of like looking at how people who usually choose HBCUs, a lot of the times it's like very cost effective as well. So then when tuition increases, it can also cause stress and anxiety and other mental health related problems to the students who go here, because they are looking for that cost effectiveness. And just kind of hearing from professors who like highlighted that communication is like a big part of like the solution of some of these problems, and like making sure that we're highlighting the solutions that are already in place by student leaders. Like, for one of our stories, someone who's a vice president of our student university activities board here, she got mental health trained or mental health certified to be that advocate for students on campus, explaining how like we're all like a community. They're also her peers, and she wants to be someone who's like able to help people who come to her as a student leader on campus. And she wants to feel adequately trained in a sense that when people come to her for these issues or just to talk, she can give them the solutions that are efficient for them to keep moving forward. So I just feel like through this collaborative project, we've been able to platform some problems that are occurring within our spaces that need a light shine on them, but we've also been able to highlight the solutions that student leaders all the way up to faculty, all the way down to just the community itself, like what they're already doing to address these issues amongst us.
Wow, those sound like some good stories. More than 30 reported stories and 7 opinion pieces were a part of this project. I think I saw a note of one about international students and how they created community at East Carolina University, for example. So, Emily, tell me about some of the stories that came out of NC State.
Yeah, we did 3 stories for this. One of them was an opinion piece actually by our co-editors-in-chief, and it was kind of reflecting on a lot that we learned last year about reporting on suicide and how important it is to be mindful of like the language you use and how talking about suicide online, how you talk about it really matters. And so I thought that was a really powerful piece about, like, I think last year, a lot of the talk on social media, like Reddit and Yik Yak and things that students use, we learned could actually, it can be harmful to include when you're talking about suicide and you need to like promote resources and things like that. So I thought that was wonderful. We also worked on a story about, our news editor, Kate Denning, did piece on how our professors are looking to address mental health with AI. We really tried to think about how, as a STEM university, and we have a big engineering school, how can we look at a lens that's really specific to NC State? So I really like that. And then, of course, Emmy and I worked on a story together about how each of our respective universities addressed student deaths, and what they're doing to kind of put in solutions. So, yeah.
I'm joined today by Emmy Martin, editor-in-chief, The Daily Tar Heel; Rose Galee Sinius, the editor-in-chief, The A&T Register at North Carolina A&T State University; and Emily Vespa, managing editor at Technician at NC State. Well, our conversation with college journalists about student mental health will continue. You're listening to Due South. We're back with more Due South on North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. I'm Leonita Inge. And I'm speaking with three student journalists, Emmy Martin, editor-in-chief at the Daily Tar Heel at UNC Chapel Hill; Rose Galee Sinius, editor-in-chief, the A&T Register at North Carolina A&T State University; and Emily Vespa, managing editor at Technician, and that's at NC State. You know, Emmy, you know, back in August, there was a student at UNC Chapel Hill, you know, who went on campus and shot and killed a professor who died of his injuries. There was a lot of confusion on campus and everyone went into lockdown, just a very difficult time. But I just wanted to ask you, what was going through your mind and how did you think about coverage of that particular event? You know, what did you want the readers of the Tar Heel to know? Because, you know, the front page was pretty famous.
Thank you. It was wonderful to see the reaction to that front page. But in the moment when we went into lockdown, it was terrifying for students across campus. In the moment, no one knew what was happening. We were told via an emergency alert that there was someone who was armed, either on campus or near campus. That was about the extent of the details we received. We were told to remain in place, to go inside. Students ran across campus to find shelter in classrooms, in closets, in basements. They barricaded the doors. I was in a library, and we locked the doors. In that moment, we started reporting, as any student journalist would, on what was happening. Started gathering information, calling anyone we could, talking to police, talking to anyone who would talk, listening to the police scanner, EMS scanner, gathering information, verifying it, and reporting it in real time, live updates on our website and on social media. I think those 3 hours in lockdown on UNC's campus were terrifying for every student, faculty member, professor, or just family members who were off campus as well. And that's something that we're still seeing the effects of, the almost trauma that students experienced, the fear that they experienced when there was an active shooter on campus. And we have a story in the Mental Health Collaborative focusing on how we can provide resources to students after a gun incident or a shooting, how the university has responded. And I think it's a conversation we should still be having. But in that moment, it was very terrifying as a student. And then as a journalist, having to, you know, stand up and do the job that you signed up for, it reminded me of why I want to be a journalist when I graduate. But also, it was an experience that was scary. And it's one I'll remember for the rest of my life.
Mm. Whose idea was it to use the large text of text messages, you know, that students received during the lockdown? Whose idea was that to put that on the front page?
After we were released from lockdown that Monday, it was August 28th, a lot of editors went to the newsroom, the Daily Tar Heel newsroom located off campus. And we came together, decided to scrap the original weekly paper we had planned to come out 2 days later. It was supposed to be a football preview edition, and instead we knew we had to report on this situation. We left that evening, that Monday evening, around 1 a.m., unsure of what our front page would look like. And as I was laying in bed that evening, I was scrolling through my phone, looking at Instagram stories from friends and members of the UNC community where they had posted screenshots of texts sent and received by friends asking, "Are you safe? Are you okay?" lamenting and mourning the events of that day. I looked in my own text messages and saw the same things. And that's when I realized that that should be our front page, a collection of text messages from our community, from the students who were scared and were in lockdown. And so the next day, our staff collected texts from friends and acquaintances, and Caitlin Yeady, our print managing editor, started putting them on our front page. And we knew that that would be it, and that would be a historical record for the day.
Hmm. You know, we've talked a bit about, you know, some of the triggers, I guess the large triggers of mental problems that are mental issues, are issues that could lead to mental distress, you know, on college campuses. But we haven't talked much about solutions. And I wonder maybe what articles were included in your collaborative that just took a look at, you know, even though there may be a lot of students who need help, but I wonder if there are enough people that work on campus, say, who can help. I've always heard there was a deficit in the number of counselors on college campuses these days. Any reporting on that?
At the Daily Tar Heel, we did report on it. Several reporters talked to officials in the counseling center. I spoke with the director of CAPS, our counseling center. It seems like our students want to see more mental health professionals on staff who can sit down and have long-form therapy with students. Right now, UNC provides brief therapy, and they are there for students in crisis. But when a student is looking for a therapist for the long term, or the 4 years that they're on campus, or however long they're on campus, they're sent to therapists in the community. Oftentimes, they'll provide resources to help students with insurance. And they'll even sometimes help students get to therapy via Lyfts or Ubers. But it's been interesting talking to students and seeing this overarching feeling that they're not doing enough, right? We want to see, a lot of folks want to see more funding from our state legislatures for especially UNC to provide more mental health resources and more long-term care for these students. But I was very interested to learn from the director that they're working hard to connect students to these places off campus and doing what they can with the funding they do have to make sure students feel supported, especially after the suicides in 2021 and then the shooting in 2023, seeing how they've acted to provide more help and more support. Mm.
Roskalee, what about at NC, at North Carolina A&T State University? Wonder if there was any talk or reporting on maybe there needed to be more help, you know, because your campus is definitely growing by leaps and bounds, more students than ever.
So we did report a story titled The State of Mental Health at NCANT that kind of highlighted the solutions that students are already doing, but also we talked to the associate director at counseling services, and it's a well-known kind of like sentiment among students in general, that counseling services is underfunded at A&T, especially if you take into context how historically underfunded HBCUs in general are. So you can only imagine how that has impacted the mental health or counseling services here at our campus. But sometimes students go in for an interview and don't see the same therapist for the next couple months. And that's become a major issue for students. So it's also impacted the student leaders on campus and has allowed them to like kind of start creating their own spaces for mental health because of the lack of staff and the lack of resources that can be allocated to counseling services in general. So it's definitely an issue on campus and an issue that a lot of students have shared, but that's why it needs to be highlighted so people who can make that change know about these issues and can do something about it.
I wonder what kind of response to this project have you gotten from other students or I guess from the community in general. I know that there is some joint reporting, I guess, you know, from the technician and from the Daily Tar Heel. What was the story titled? How Two Flagship North Carolina Universities Responded After Several Student Deaths. So I wonder, what has some of the feedback been? Emmy?
It's been an honor to be able to look into how UNC and NC State both had very public and tragic events on their campuses and how those administrations responded. Both universities partnered with the Jed Foundation through Jed Campus and have been taking action and taking steps to implement things at their university to support their students. UNC is in its third year of that process. NC State's in its first year. And our story was picked up by the News and Observer. And so I'm excited that that was read by more people beyond just the UNC community and just the NC State community. We've seen a lot of love on social media, which has been wonderful, but also seeing people pick up the papers on our campus and, you know, carrying them around, that's always great to see. And then seeing the traffic on our website and on our social media and reading the comments and seeing that, you know, this work and this collaborative did affect our communities in a hopefully positive way, seeing people at least start to have more conversations about it. And perhaps it sparks future collaborations between newsrooms that weren't in this project.
Well, Emily, tell me about some of the feedback that you received in Raleigh.
Yeah, it's been really inspiring to see how so many people appreciated this work. And I think it's really cool that, again, so many people read it, and I've seen the same on our social media technician. And that's been really just cool to see that we've inspired other people to look more into the resources at NC State. And I also think it's, at least in our newsroom, seeing how all these other talented journalists across the state have looked at different aspects of mental health on their campus, it's really put ideas into my head of ways we can expand our coverage of mental health and looking into the same things on our campus, which I think is really cool. It's been just amazing to learn and grow from the journalists that we've worked with, and I think that'll help shape our coverage in the future.
So, Emily, what do you think are some of the next steps here? You know, what's needed? I mean, I know you have a sports reporter and probably what, I don't know, new students reporter. Maybe you need a mental health reporter full time.
Yeah, absolutely. We've definitely thought about that beat. And even within the mental health beat, I think there are so many routes to take. And I think that's something I've learned throughout this is just how nuanced it can be and how broad the subject is. I think one thing we really want to look at is specifically at NC State, how people who struggle with food and housing insecurity find resources, because that's something that I think we could cover more thoroughly. And I've been really inspired to just dig more into mental health on campus, especially just with different more niche groups. So yeah, I think that's one route. But we've definitely thought about potentially taking on another big special issue like this just within technician and tackling more really niche areas of mental health.
So Emmy, what about at the Daily Tar Heel? Are you about to graduate?
I have one more year.
Okay, good. So you can start a new beat as well.
I'm excited to see how all of our desks at the DTH will continue to improve our mental health coverage. I think a large part of mental health reporting is keeping the institutions we're reporting on accountable to their communities. And that's something I'm excited to see within our university desk and our city and state desk.
If you could share one thing with our listeners, really just from the perspective of college students and mental health, what would it be and your biggest takeaway from all of this work?
I think my biggest takeaway is that if we continue to talk about mental health in a way that is not stigmatizing, in a way that is focusing on solutions and is focusing on being welcoming and understanding, that is how we lead to change and how we lead to a future where perhaps this isn't the biggest issue among students and among adolescents and young adults. And I'm really excited to continue that conversation and also for the future of the Daily Tar Heel, the future of Technician, the future of A&T Register, and the other college newsrooms who are involved in this project to keep this project alive and this collaborative alive.
Rose Galee, what about you at North Carolina A&T State University?
Yeah, I would say, so I am graduating, but
congratulations.
Thank you. So I'm excited to see what the new staff does and kind of how they continue to spearhead this initiative, because I do think it's important to continue the conversation, but also to make sure the conversations we're having don't just stay conversations. They actually implement change and kind of take a life of its own among like our community. And I think kind of the biggest takeaway I would say from this whole thing is just realizing how broad and, like Emily said, how nuanced mental health can be, not only just focusing on the big buzzwords or like just the big topics that people know about, but also looking at how money plays a part in mental health, how like where someone lives plays a part, how food insecurity plays a part, and kind of just the different things that can impact someone's life and how that affects them personally and also on a broader scale of them as a student and them in the community that they live in. So yeah, I think it's very important to continue that conversation and just make sure that the conversations we have also provide solutions or provide ways for people to implement those solutions.
Wow. And Emily, what do you want folks to learn? What do you want listeners to know about this work and why it's important? Your big takeaway.
I think my biggest takeaway, I was very grateful that for the article Emmy and I worked on, I was able to speak with a student whose friend had died last year. And one thing, we had a really great long conversation, but the biggest takeaway I took from that was I asked her what advice she would give to students who also might have experienced that loss and just how to get through it. And her biggest takeaway was to reach out for help and to seek help. And she said she wished she had taken advantage more of the resources that the university provides. And she really encouraged people to not be afraid of the stigma of seeking out help. And that's something I would really, I think, is the most important takeaway for me. And I would really like to impart that on the readers and anyone listening, that there's no problem with seeking help. And if you're struggling, definitely seek help. I think that's a really important takeaway.
Well, Emmy Martin is editor-in-chief of the Daily Tar Heel at UNC Chapel Hill. Rose Galee Sinias is editor-in-chief, the A&T Register at North Carolina A&T State University, and Emily Vespa, managing editor at Technician at NC State University. And you all have been working on this great collaborative, Mental Health Collaborative. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
This is Due South. Due South is a production of WUNC and a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Our producers are Stacia Brown, Coldale Charco, and Rachel McCarthy. Denarius Thomas is our technical director. Aaron Kiever is our executive producer. Our theme music is by Quilla. For co-host Jeff Tiberi, I'm Leonita Inge.